continuing on in the work of the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. This is Paul speaking. So, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Continuing on in the work of the Lord. This church is a little bit different than most churches, in that people that come here seem to stay. I've been in several different churches, and that's not how it is. Every couple of years, there's a whole new group of people. Now, we are constantly getting new people, and people move on. But people that come here stay. Why that is, that's up to between them and the Lord. I don't know why that is, but it's special here. There's something here which there isn't in a lot of places. Now, it's not us, because we're just the people, and it's not me. I know that it's not me. Now, the Lord does call people to go other places. We were called to this church. I believe that with all of my being and all my fiber, that the Lord put us here. We were in another church, and Lord put a spirit of discontent in my heart. Lord does that. It's in the Old Testament all about 10 times. The Lord puts a spirit of discontentment so you're not happy where you are. Because we're too stubborn. We like things to just stay like they are. We don't want to change. I'm here, so let's just keep on going like they are. But the Lord says, no, I need you over there. And they say, no, I don't want to go over there. I don't want to go anywhere. I like it here. No, you don't like it here, and I'll make it so you don't like it here. And after a while, you say, oh, I don't like it here. Duh. So you say, okay, well, if I don't like it here, where should I be? And that's when the Lord can pick you up and say, okay, this is where I want you to be. That's how a missionary gets called. A missionary gets called because he says, there is something over there that is far more important for me to do than what I'm doing here. That's how a pastor gets called to a different church. He sees, there's a church over there that really, really needs me. And this church, there's someone else to fill in. Things, it happens. God works that way. God moved Paul around from church to church to church. Do you think he wanted to leave the people of Philippi? No. He said, I want to stay here for my whole life. But God moved him on. God moves people on, but he doesn't move everybody on. Once you're here, if God moves you, go. Don't stay here. I don't want to be around somebody that's miserable out of the will of God. Just please go somewhere else. But if God has not asked you, said, okay, you, I want you over there, then why would you go? Right. And yet, where are you going to be in a year? Most of you will probably be here in a year. How about in 5 years? And I put down 20 years, but then I got to thinking, you know, I'm probably not going to be here in 20 years. Half of a good deal of us are not going to be here in 20 years. We know where we're going to be. But where are we going to be a year from now? Now, we probably could, you know, at least on the surface agree, I really want to be where the Lord wants me to be. Wouldn't you say that? I really want to be in the service of the Lord. This is where I want to be. I want to be doing what God wants me to do, where he wants me to do it, when he wants me to do it. Now, we're all rebellious, and we know that, and we don't do all those things, and we don't like, you know, we know all that, and that's a whole different lesson. We'll get into that. But how is it that we can say, the Lord being my helper and the Lord being giving me length of days, I'll be here in 20 years, maybe not teaching this class, I'll be doing something else. But how is it that I can rest assured that I'm going to be here? Well, I've got a list of about 10, 12 things that we have to do to say, okay, this is where God put me. I'm going to stay here. I don't want to go someplace else. There's going to be people here that in a few years, they're not going to be in Sunday school because it's a little bit too hard. Or I've already done that. I gave my time. And you've heard those things, haven't you? You've probably thought those things. Not Carol, no. The Word of God has a lot to say about continuing. Just continuing on in the work of the Lord. I have a whole list of verses, and we're not going to read them all. There's like 40-something verses that just talk about continuing. Acts 13:43. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. In Acts 14:22, confirming the souls and exhorting them to continue in the faith. Acts 26, I continue unto this day. In Romans 11, if I continue in his goodness. Galatians chapter 2, that the gospel might continue in you. Philippians 1, continue with you all. In Colossians it says, if you continue in the faith, continue in prayer. They continue in faith. It's just, that means quit, right? At some point, stop doing it. There's going to be points in our life that we're going to say, okay, this is, maybe we're not going to consciously say it. Not today. So let somebody else do that. That's not how I'm made. Who are we serving anyway? If God put us here, if God gave you a place to serve, who are you to say no? Who are you to say, okay, I'm going to go do something else? Then you become a disobedient servant. And we're not going to get into disobedient service. We're trying to say, don't do this. This is how you stay. First thing that's so important, this is more important than anything else. You have to know you're saved. If you don't know you're saved, you're not going to be here a year from now. Sure. Either that or you continue pretending, one of the two. Sure. How do you know you're saved? You don't know you're saved because the preacher preached a message and I went forward. You know, that's not a good reason to know you're saved. We have an evangelist coming in a few weeks. He preached some good messages, had great music, and he does have good messages and good music. But because he preached a message and talked to me after church, that means nothing. You can do all that and not be saved. You can do a lot of things. Our daughter, our youngest daughter, we thought she was saved when she was very young. I think 4 or 5, we thought she got saved. It was until after she left home. I don't know, was she married when she got saved? I think she was. She was already married when she got saved. And just decided, you know, I'm not saved. And she went forward and got saved. Our own pastor's wife went through all kinds of, and she was already in the ministry and said, you know what? Duh. I'm not saved. So don't be saying, yeah, I know. I think I know. Well, you think you know that you're going to hell if you don't get saved. That's what you should know. Don't fool yourself. Don't try and fool somebody else. Don't pretend. Know you're saved. If you don't know you're saved, well, find out today. Don't go home. There's car accidents every week out here. Things happen every week. People die of heart attacks every week. People get cancer every week. And they have sometimes 2 or 3 weeks before they're dead. You know that happens. If you get cancer like that and you find out you've got 2 or 3 weeks to live, probably being saved isn't going to be on your mind. You're going to be so frustrated about everything else that you're not going to have the clarity of mind to think, you know, I've been pretending all this time. If you're not saved, find out what we're talking about. You know, if you don't know that you're saved, examine yourselves. Second Corinthians says, examine yourself whether ye be in the faith. You know, prove your own selves. Prove it. How do you know you're saved? Because Holy Spirit's right in here. It's not because of anything else, but the Holy Spirit's right in here. And he's telling, yeah, you are saved. You are mine. I'm not going to let you alone. You can't do those things. I'm not going to let you do those things. I'm going to keep pestering you until you stop doing those things. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. That and the Holy Word of God says that whosoever shall call upon his name shall be saved. Doesn't it say that? I did that. I know I did that. And there's been a couple times, and you probably have had that experience as well, that I wonder if I have. Ever thought that? And then you can go right then to that same passage or any other passage that deals with salvation. Say, I did that, Lord. Now, either you're lying or my mind is screwed up. One of the two. And it's always my mind, so aren't you glad of that, though? We can go to the Word of God and that still small voice that comes at all times of the day and night telling you, you're one of mine. I'm not going to let you go. like a mother trying, you know, in a grocery store, the kid wants to run. No, you're not going down there. You're mine and you're staying here. Assurance of salvation. You have to know that you're saved. If you're going to stay here, if you're going to stay in the service of the Lord, you have to know you're saved. If you're not saved, you can't be in the service of the Lord. What happened to those that said, you know, I'm one of yours, and Lord Jesus said, no, you're not. They were doing all the things we do, weren't they? They were coming to serve church services. They probably preached messages, taught Sunday school, went out witnessing, they read their scriptures. And what did the Lord say? Depart from me. I never knew who you were. You're not even one of mine. That's kind of important, isn't it? If you're going to continue in the work of the Lord, if you're not going to have the influence that you have cut off from everyone, what influence can you possibly have on anyone if you're not saved? Somebody that I worked with in Bible college, Bruce Gerenzer, you can look him up online. What a mess that guy is now. Worked with a good friend of mine, rode to work with him all the time. We had meals with him, got married to Polly. And I don't know what happened, but he is online as the biggest agnostic in the whole world that I've ever seen. I mean, he's one of those guys that you say, and then he's going to jump on you for almost saying Christian. What happened? I don't know. But I tend to think he was not saved in Bible college, didn't get saved after Bible college. He had three churches he pastored. It's not possible for him to have been saved, do all those things, and then just wander off into total hatred of God and everything to do with God. I think God would kill him before that. I really do. Maybe not. I don't know. I don't know God's mind. Don't know how God works in every case. But we're going to leave that at that. Kind of breaks my heart, but that's fine. And it should. It should upset me. Assurance of salvation. The next thing, if I can find, okay, is salvation settled. Now what? You know you're saved. Now what? We have all kinds of jobs to do in the service of the Lord. Some people, it's just taking care of little children, their children. That's their job. That's what God's given them to do. It's taking care of your grandchildren. Some, it's teaching in a school. Some, it's driving a truck, putting you where you need to be. I've spoke with that Brother Don a lot of times, and you pass out enough tracts to... We have to pay for them, you know. That's all right. But that's a good thing, isn't it? Brother Don said, you know, nobody ever reads these things anyway. I'm not even going to bother picking them up. What has he done to that ribbon? Just said, cut it off. Too bad for those people down there that maybe I could have, but nah, it's just not worth the hassle. And I bet not everyone enjoys having you hand them a track, do they? No, I didn't think so. He said, I just don't want to deal with that anymore. I'm not doing that anymore. And there's a whole string of people that maybe live in Pennsylvania that are never going to hear about it. Don't know. That's his job. Maybe that's all the Lord's given him to do. I don't know. That's between him and God. What is your job? Just really think about it. What is it that God has for me to do? Now, he didn't save you, put you here, and say, okay, just sit there and, you know, take up some space. Be around so the people feel good. There's a lot of people in church. it'd be easier if there was less people. There's less to clean up, you know. Well, that's one way of thinking of it. But what is your job? If you don't have a job, if you don't have something, God called me to do this. You're not going to be here a year from now. Why bother? Except it's your social outlet. Do it on Facebook. You know, you can get it just as good. You can have lots of good friends on Facebook. They'll never argue with you. You know, maybe not never, but what is your job? If you don't have one, well, why not? It doesn't matter if you show up or not, if you don't have a job. If you are able to teach and you don't teach, why not? Is that because God's preparing you for something else in that way? Well, maybe. Is it because I already did that once and I'm not doing it again? It's too much work. What's the reason why? If you have a telephone and you don't have anything else to do, if you have a telephone, why haven't you called somebody that's not here today? It can't be here today. Why haven't you sent a card to somebody that you know they're having a hard time? Jenny needs cards. Every now and then she does need cards. She's got a burden to carry, and she carries it with joy. Not all the time. I've seen her when she's not all that joyful. I've seen her when she wants to strangle Travis. And you can tell him I said that. He knows it. Because she's not going to let that be so quiet. But that's what she has to do. Maybe there's something else for, I don't know, that's between you and the Lord. That's not up to me. That's between you and the Lord. All this is between you and the Lord. Whether you're saved or not, between you and the Lord. What your job is, that's between you and the Lord. That's a recurrent theme through all this. It's between you and God. That's a personal, distinct relationship that you have with your Father because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And only because of that. Another reason you may not be here a year from now is there's things from your old life you didn't leave behind. How many things are become new? All things are become new. Now that doesn't mean that every person that gets saved leaves their job, leaves their family, because you have, if all things become new, you have to get a new family, a new job, a new city. No, that's not what it means at all. But, you know, you could interpret, you could say that's what that means. I have to leave everything. It doesn't mean that. What it means is that my reason for being here is completely new. My reason for wanting to have fellowship with other people is completely new. I want to hear more about the Lord. I want to share more about the Lord. That's what all things are become new. We didn't want to know anything about God before. The less I know, the better, because then I won't be convicted about it. Every now and then, you ever get that in your mind? I really don't want to read the scripture because I know what it's going to do. Has that ever happened to you? It happens to me, yeah, sometimes. And the Lord has to say, oh, yes. And he may make you sick, say, oh, that's why I'm sick. There's no other reason. He may, he may put a trouble in you that you don't have any choice but to come to him. But not leaving old things behind. I smoked cigarettes for quite a few years before I got saved. One day, now people say it's hard to quit smoking. Christians, it's not hard to quit smoking. I'm sorry. If you smoke, I'm sorry. It's not hard to quit smoking. You have to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to serve you more than I want to, what? Smoke cigarettes more than I want to do anything. If you want to serve the Lord more than you want to do anything from your old life, what do we take God for anyway? A father that you go to and say, I've got this problem. This problem is I will be able to please you by not doing this, and he's not going to give you the ability to do that. Duh. I mean, if that's the God we serve, I'm really confused. The Word of God is really wrong if that's the God we serve. He gives you that power. He gives you that ability. Because does he want you to continue in those habits, whatever they might be? Of course he doesn't. So he's going to expect you on your own somehow to get the courage and strength and physical muster up to quit all that, right? No, he's not on your own. No way. How many times, if you ever smoked, how many times did you quit smoking? About, 80,000 times. Did it work? No. Did the Lord take it away? I haven't had a cigarette since that day. Not one. I've not wanted one since that day. Maybe it doesn't happen the same with everybody. I don't know. Maybe you have to go from one package to 19 to 18 to 17, stick a patch on your arm, take tablets. I don't know. Maybe some people have to do that. That's not how it happened with me. It just was done. It wasn't, I didn't approach the Lord and say, I think I want to be saved. And he said, well, okay, we'll do this. And then do this. And then do this. No, I said, I want to be saved. And what happened? I was saved. Amen. I want to serve you more than I want to live that old life. And he saved me. I want to serve you more than I want to smoke cigarettes. And he took that away. And where does that conversation stop? It doesn't. Because every time you open the Word of God, maybe not every day, but very often when you open the Word of God, there's going to be something there. You're going to hear something in a message. You're going to read something, maybe just the verse that's in the bulletin on Sunday. You're going to read something in a devotional. That's me. And you can go to God and say, God, that's me. I want to serve you more than do that. And what's he going to do? Okay. I would like to have you serve me too. So it wouldn't have angels in heaven every time something like that happens. I mean, they're thrilled. I mean, their whole purpose is to see God happy, really. I mean, that's their purpose. And when that becomes our purpose, we have the power to do anything that needs to be done. Continuing old habits. This message isn't going to be done today. This lesson is not going to be done today. It goes on into, we only got about 10 minutes to go. It goes on into three men in the Bible that had opportunity to quit and said, no, I'm not quitting. Oh, I'm not quitting. Think about Joseph. Did Joseph ever have a chance to quit? Yeah, never. You think of opportunities to say, I've had enough of this. How about Daniel? Time after time, I'm doing right. No, I'm in trouble for doing right. I'm doing right again. You're in trouble for doing right again. How about Paul? Paul was on the top of the world. Brought down to nothing and time after time, everybody hated Paul. I mean, you think of Paul, he's a good guy. Everybody hated Paul. The Romans hated Paul. The Jews hated Paul. A handful of Christians. Only a handful. Half of them didn't even trust him. Most of them didn't trust him right to start, but one person. That would have been a good point to quit, wouldn't it? Say, okay, all this can't be real, right? All those people that I'm supposed to be with don't like me. The Romans don't like me. The Jewish community doesn't like me. Nobody likes me like I'm at. So, anyway, that's a future lesson. This next one's a little bit touchy. And don't be offended by it, but sickness. We have a sister over here that's sick. I mean, maybe you shouldn't ought to be here. I don't know. But she has to be here. And many of us are here that aren't feeling so great. Now, things happen. You can't be here. I mean, you just can't. I mean, you got something that I don't want to catch. Please don't come here. I don't want to catch it. You're not doing anybody a favor coming and spreading things around. But is your sickness, infirmity, or whatever it is that the reason you're not coming? Because I don't have to go now because I have a cold? Now, you've probably thought that. I don't have to go now because I'm sick. Only when you're not looking to see what the Lord has for you. Sickness can sometimes be used, say, a reason why I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm sick. Conflict. We're all human beings. Ever have an argument with anybody ever? Never. Mm-mm. Everybody here just gets along perfect with everybody. And we're not going to go too far into any of that. Conflict's going to happen. But who are we serving anyway? Are we trying to serve, you know, I'll pick on Don. Don doesn't care if I pick on him. Don and me decide we're going to have an argument about something. Really, this is something. Don, I don't like your tie. Don't wear that tie anymore. He said, but that's my favorite tie. So I'm not even going to talk to you. I'm not even going to let you in the class if you have that tie on anymore. That's a pretty dumb argument, really, but you think that's dumb? It's not any more dumb than any of other our conflicts are. Because it has nothing to do with me serving God at all. And I'm not serving Don. Now, if you're coming in and doing something which is clearly against the Word of God, I'm going to say something. And then, is my conflict with Don? No, Don's conflict is with God because he's breaking God's law. And I'm a teacher this week. May not be next week. No, next week, we're not going to be here next week. Nobody's going to be here next week, it sounds like. But, I've lost my train of thought there. Oh, well. I probably got it wrote down here. I don't like his tie. I don't like your tie. I don't like your mustache. Now we're in trouble. We're going to go to the next point. Weary and well-doing. Ever get tired of Sunday night comes? It's, 5:30 before that or something like that. And, man, I would just as soon stay here in the chair because I'm tired. And we were up all, doing all this, and I'm just tired. Be not weary and well doing. Now, that does happen. You get tired. And there are times where you have to go set aside and say, okay, I'm tired. Got to take care of that. Galatians 6, and be not weary and well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. If you get too tired, and probably when we get too tired like that, it's because we're doing something other than what God has for you to do. He's not going to give you something to do that's going to make you so tired you can't continue. It's just, he'd be defeating his own purposes. He wants you to continue. If God wants you here, he's going to make it possible for you to be here. Sin is another thing. Go ahead and pick up a sin, any sin, doesn't matter which it is. Take your pick. Pick one up. Continue on in the sin. Continue on and say, this is all right. This doesn't seem to be bothering me or anyone else. At least not right today. Go ahead and do it again tomorrow. Or do it twice tomorrow. And how long is it going to be before that sin becomes more important than your service to God? You have to do this now. This is part of my life. Sin will draw you away from staying here. Now, age is another thing. Don't be all upset about this either. Miss Franks, I know you're only 108, but... or is it 109? Never mind. The thought has come, and you've probably heard people say, I've done my part. I have given. It's let somebody younger take care of this. Let somebody that... they can do it better than I can. Maybe they can. And if God calls them to do it, that is really great. But God called you to do this. He didn't call them to do this. Who are we to go to somebody younger and say, okay, I'm tired of doing this. It's your turn. Now, if God leads you to mentor someone, say, okay, we're going to build you up and we're going to help you so that, because I'm not going to be here forever. My ribbon is only so long. And when that ribbon's out, somebody has to be here to pick this up. And mentoring them and encouraging them is a whole different thing than saying, okay, I'm going to cut this ribbon off here and you're going to pick it up. I wonder how many preachers end up in the pastorate. How many teachers end up because somebody said, okay, you're the teacher now. And God never called them. My goodness, you can get in a lot of trouble that way. How can you possibly do the work God didn't call you to it? Some of yous have, some of yous, that's not even English, is it? Is it? Yeah, it is. Yeah, it must be. Some of you have a lot more years on you than I have on me. Some, not a lot. Every year it gets and there's less. And I used to be the person that fixed everything in the church. If it broke, they called me. If they call L now. But if it broke, and I don't know why this is, the Lord put us 30 miles away. It's not like you can just, okay, I'm going to go over to church and I'll be back before lunch. It doesn't, that doesn't happen. This is a full day trip. This isn't, okay, after dinner we'll go over. After dinner, it's time for bed by the time you get after dinner over here. No, the Lord put us there. Yet the Lord called us here. The Lord put us here. And I'm thankful for that too. But apparently, that's not what I'm supposed to do here. for a little while, it really bothered me, saying all these things need to be fixed, and I have the ability to fix them, and I can't. And now, you all know about aches and pains, I can't hardly walk some days. I can't lift my arm at all. Today it's doing pretty good, so don't tap me on the shoulder, please. Now, had I continued on doing those things, Lord knows what would have happened. This would have happened way sooner. I don't know why the Lord does all these things. It's not up to me to know that. Age is a problem, but it doesn't mean that our age dictates how our service is. God will put you where He wants you to be. Are you where God wants you to be? Discontentment is the last thing. Actually, we've got two things I'll just mention. Discontentment. If you're not content with what you have, you're going to try and find it. Find something else to replace it. If you are not happy with where you are, what you have, and who you're with, you have to find someplace. You can't be discontent. Now, if you're discontent, for what reason? Now, if God puts the discontentment in you, great. But if you just be content with what you have. The last thing, success. If any man thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Go ahead and have some success in your life, in any area, and say, hey, this is pretty good. God's not going to share His glory with you. He's not. Can you just think of how ridiculous it is to even think that He possibly could? We're talking about the God that has the power to create all these things, make them all like they are, as marvelous as they are, and we're going to say, yeah, I did some of that. Duh. You are able to get a few people saying, man, I'm really on a roll now. You're able to influence some people's lives. And yes. And God looks down and says, what? Who did the saving? Who paid for that? I mean, who died on the cross for that? Who arranged all that? Who gave you the words to speak? Who gave you the word of God to use to do all that? So yeah, I did really good. And is God going to keep you around if that's going to be your testimony? I do really well at this. No, you won't be here a year from now because God doesn't want you here. God doesn't want that kind of person, that kind of attitude. Can't put up with it because nobody, who's going to get saved in that kind of atmosphere? Who's going to want to serve God because Brother Don? Now, you've heard choices and you've probably seen, been in churches where Brother Don is, he is so eloquent. I don't know. I've heard you speak. Don does a good job of what he does. But God's not going to put up with somebody who thinks they're something. You only deceive yourself. We're going to go over not next week. Next week we'll be out of town. We're going to go over three men in maybe two men in 2 weeks, where their chances to quit, where their opportunities to quit, to decide I'm not going to do this anymore. Choices to say, well, I don't care what the world says. I am going to do this. I don't care what the situation. I am going to stay here. And I don't care who wants me to leave or what the argument is or what color tie Don wears. I'm still showing up. We're going to look at a couple men in the Bible that made those decisions. And hopefully we'll see, I can make those decisions. I don't have to decide for any reason. All those things that we went over, if you decide, God, I want to stay here. God, I want to stay. Well, each one, make sure you're saved. Make sure you have something to do here. If you're just sitting around, you're going to get bored. When you're bored, yeah, no bananas or nothing else. Let's have prayer and we're going to take out of here. Don, why don't you close in prayer if you would.